Today we've heard some really intriguing readings. And this first one from Genesis, this famous little incident of Jacob wrestling with the unknown stranger. But within the piece that we heard read, there's three little scenes that we can visualize. The first scene is Jacob on the move. Kind of an echo of the motif of the wandering Aramean. People being on the move. Tribes are on the move. People today are on the move in so many ways. And you have this situation where, for some reason, Jacob sends others on ahead. He finds the need to wait at the stream of Jabbok. He sends everybody ahead. And of course, this sets us up for the second scene. He's alone at night. And he engaged in a wrestle with a stranger. We don't hear why particularly, but he's engaged, this wrestling, this struggle takes place. It's an image of that nighttime struggle. Here it's very physical, this wrestling match almost through the night. But it could also have an existential, a spiritual reference. I don't know about you, but sometimes in our lives, and I recall there's been once or twice in my life, it seems like I have wrestled through the nights with God as I've struggled with whatever it was I was struggling with. So that second scene, that strong struggle, that wrestling with a stranger, the sense of incognito, and of course, it appears in this case that he's winning, Jacob's winning. I can remember years ago, when I was challenged with this call to ministry and that sense of wrestling with God. And for a while I thought, yes, I was winning. I know, of course. I wasn't called to be a minister of the church. I'm going to be a politician. Someone else trumped that, but never mind. That's another story. Well, so that wasn't the answer to that particular struggle. So you think you're winning, but then you're not. Somehow God trips you up. And in this case, you have this very particular notion of a touch to the thigh, and then he's limping. And so you have the third scene. The stranger is seeking release as daybreak occurs, but Jacob seeks a blessing from the stranger. He seeks a blessing, and he receives the blessing, and in receiving the blessing, he then knows who it is he's been wrestling with. In the blessing, even though there's no names given, it is understood. In the tussle, each is initially unknown to the other. The close of the struggle yields the naming, the identity. And in the process, Jacob receives a new identity. He's no longer the man with his family crossing the river. He now has a task, a calling. He is Israel. That's his name. He receives the blessing and he knows whom it is that he is wrestling with and who is guiding his life. And of course, in commemoration, the place of that is named Peniel. And interestingly enough, in the record, there's reference to, I have seen God face to face, yet I have survived. And of course, in Hebrew thought, the notion of a face-to-face encounter with God was of encountering such power that you could not possibly survive. But who else survived an encounter with God? Well, Moses has. One or two key people who have come, as it were, face to face with God and receive that sense of identification of who it is they are confronting. And then we have Paul, who somehow picks up in his letter to the people, to the church, the second letter of Timothy. He exhorts a continuation in faith. A continuation of the struggle of faith. This is at a time when this letter was written, as with much of the, well, all of the New Testament writings really, were written in a period of the struggle of early Christians in a context of hostility and at times direct persecution. And of course, there are echoes of that in the world today. Paul exhorts a continuation in the ongoing struggle in the new way of being Christian. He advocates, of course, for the reliability of teachers of the faith in this context. And, of course, that's very much reflecting the kind of distractions that were about in his time. A key passage which is often read out of context is that Scripture is reinforced. He reinforced the place of Hebrew Scripture for Christians as inspired and useful. And we have to remember, of course, that the Scripture that's being referred to here is the Law and the Prophets. Because at the time this letter was written, there was no Christian Scripture. There was no New Testament. This is now part of the New Testament. It wasn't when it was written. So we have to bear that in mind. And he's reminding Christians who have come out of the Jewish tradition that the Law and the Prophets are useful for your instruction and for your guidance. Of course, he also transcends the strictures of the law, but he is not saying to the Christians, now you ditch the Hebrew heritage. And that became a challenge for the early church when the Gnostic influence Marcion challenged Christians to say, we don't no longer need the heritage, the Hebrew heritage. We only have the New Testament, and our God is not the same God as the Jews. Here in the letter of Timothy, Christians in the earliest days are being reminded the Hebrew heritage is part of the tradition. So the struggle goes on. And of course, we come to Luke's gospel and this delightful little parable, this kind of little anecdote. An anecdote of persistence, of struggling, of persisting even in the struggle. In this case, we now have the example of the widow seeking justice. Used as an example to say, if the unjust judge can finally get the point and bow down to persistence of the woman, then how much will God respond to your own persistent pursuit of the life of faith? And it recalls to my mind when I was 13 and at high school, we had in those days in my school cadets, armed forces cadets. This was in the 1960s. And I joined the air cadets. And as a 13-year-old, I went to my first camp. And it was announced that two boys would be selected to go on a 3-hour flight of a Sunderland flying boat that had been recommissioned for the last time. They were scrapped a few years later. Well, I put up my hand. I didn't just put up my hand. I went to the head teacher, who was the squadron leader, and made it very clear I was keen to go. Several times. I persisted. Well, we were on parade, and I'd been told by another boy, an older boy who'd been on one of these before, if you get selected, whatever you do, go and get your jersey, because these things are not exactly, pressurized, air-conditioned, and so on. Well, they're air-conditioned, right? The air comes through the front of the plane and goes right through and out the back of the plane. So make sure you get something warm. Well, we're on parade. And it was announced, the two boys who were called, and of course my name was called. I made an immediate beeline for the barracks. Where are you going, boys? Straight down, so get on the plane. Okay. Happily they gave us an officer's jacket, which helped a little bit, but that's another story. Persistence paid off. Well, that's a little anecdote from my life. But here, with Timothy, the letter, with the gospel, and with our reading of Jacob and the struggle at Peniel, we get this glimpse, this sense of part of the challenge of the Christian life is to persist through struggles, through difficulties, and to receive the reward that God promises us. And in his name, amen.